Welcome to Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. This sermon is part of our mission to bless our neighbors to the glory of God. We hope it blesses you. Our scripture lesson is the very beginning of Matthew's gospel. And if you've started reading from the screens, you are already asking yourself, is he really about to read us a genealogy? Yes, he is about to read us a genealogy, and here's why. Because these are the stories that our Christmas story is built on. This is the mighty river of faithful people throughout the generations that we participate in as we gather this evening. He's about to read the genealogy because the shepherds and the angels all by themselves can get a little bit too precious moments for what the Christmas story is really all about. Because Jesus is not born so that we can escape history, but in order to bring God into history. And these lives, these 42 and then a couple lives that I will mention just now, these lives are redeemed tonight too. So let's make room for these names. An account of the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, and Isaac the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers, and Judah the father of Perez and Zerah by Tamar, and Perez, the father of Hezron, and Hezron, the father of Aram, and Aram, the father of Amminadab, and Amminadab, the father of Nahshon, and Nahshon, the father of Salmon, and Salmon, the father of Boaz by Rahab, and Boaz, the father of Obed by Ruth, and Obed, the father of Jesse, and Jesse, the father of King David. And David was the father of Solomon, by the wife of Uriah, and Solomon the father of Rehoboam, and Rehoboam the father of Abijah, and Abijah the father of Asaph, and Asaph the father of Jehoshaphat, and Jehoshaphat the father of Joram, and Joram the father of Uzziah, and Uzziah the father of Jotham, and Jotham the father of Ahaz, and Ahaz the father of Hezekiah, and Hezekiah the father of Manasseh, and Manasseh the father of Amos, and Amos the father of Josiah, and Josiah the father of Jeconiah and his brothers at the time of the deportation to Babylon. And after the deportation to Babylon, Jeconiah was the father of Salathiel, and Salathiel the father of Zerubbabel, and Zerubbabel the father of Abiud, and Abiud the father of Eliakim, and Eliakim the father of Azor, and Azor the father of Zadok, and Zadok the father of Akim, and Akim the father of Eliud, and Eliud the father of Eleazar, and Eleazar the father of Mathan, and Mathan the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who is called the Messiah. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations, and from David to the deportation to Babylon, 14 generations. And from the deportation to Babylon to the Messiah, 14 generations. Okay, really, I read Matthew's genealogy just because I like it. Because it's God's family history, all laid out in these neat groups of 14 generations. Although every time I read Matthew's genealogy, I worry that I have named my kids something that 14 generations from now is going to mean smelly pink fish. Like, c'est la vie, these are names that mean something. C'est la vie had to choose his own name. He created a new genealogy, a new family there on the streets. Not that any of us could imagine being in Jesus' family tree. But then nobody in Jesus' family tree imagined being in Jesus' family tree either. I love Matthew's genealogy because it calls our attention to the people who are invisible. Luke gives us another set of nobodies, those shepherds out on the hills, pulled the night shift. But Matthew gives us these ancestors like Tamar and Rahab and Ruth and Bathsheba. Matthew gives us a genealogy that includes women. And these aren't women who come from power. These are women whose stories are their power. These wrenching, redemptive stories that are built into who Jesus is. These are noteworthy women next to the patriarchs and the kings who make up this story. Although the women, they disappear toward the third half of that genealogy. The people are conquered and exiled, and, well, that patriarchy that only included a few women to begin with doesn't include any when it comes under the stress of exile and being uprooted from its place. But even the missing women are there. In order to make the genealogy work, you might have to have conversations with your parents about this, but you need the women there in order for that to work. The invisible people are there if only you have eyes to see them. So don't focus only on the names that appear in the family tree. Don't even focus only on the names of those women who appear in the family tree, because I don't know if you caught that part at the end, but not even Jesus ultimately appears in Jesus' family tree here. This is a genealogy from Abraham all the way down through King David to Joseph, who was the husband of Mary, who was the mother of Jesus. So this is like Jesus' step family tree here. This genealogy is not, well, it's not precise in the way that Ancestry.com wants your genealogy to be precise. This genealogy is an exercise in how not to trace God's activity in the world, because salvation can enter the world through ancestry or through a miracle. The birth that we celebrate tonight is not the inevitable fulfillment of some ancient forecast. It is a beautiful new thing that we recognize as something God is doing because it is a beautiful new thing that looks exactly like we would think God should look. God is behind this story through the everyday faithfulness of those women, named or otherwise, and all of those others who never appear in the genealogy, but who belong to Jesus' story. Christ is born through the everyday faithfulness of those invisible people in this sacred story. Yes, the faithfulness of the shepherds who are out there biding their time in the field looking for a new opportunity or at least looking to come on stage. There's the innkeeper who, like C'est la vie, makes room for community where there is no room. There's Joseph's grandmother, whatever her name was, who taught him to seek God's will because he stands in that line of the great King David. Christ is born through the people who are not in our Christmas card photos because they're invisible too. The people who built the auditorium or kept the lights on so that that concert could come off. The people who maintained the cruise boat or who operated the rides at Disneyland, who protected and cleaned up the park where the family gathering took place. The people who insist that we value them too. The ones who beg for grace or the ones who offer grace simply by the fact of their presence among us, even at risk to their own selves. Christ is born in the neighbors next door who brighten our day, or the neighbors overseas who bear the burden of a changing climate and unstable politics. Christ is born in the neighbors that we will converse with this week, sharing love and honesty and discomfort and even reconciliation. Christ is born right there. Christ is born in a meal served in a shelter tomorrow to folks with nowhere else to go. And he's born in that simple welcome when a guest at that meal welcomes a volunteer at that meal to his table. And Christ is born in the lives that we can't imagine being part of Jesus' family tree, including our own. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Learn more about our mission at wdmcovenant.org.